Today we're going back into Psalm 82. And we've talked about in the introduction, there's more than one being or one type of entity that is called Son of God. But we also talked about on Thursday night, those that were with us, we talked about it from the vantage point and the perspective that the sons of God were considered to be judges in Israel. And I gave you all the information that showed why people called them the sons of God. Well, today we're going to come from the vantage point of the sons of God being what we call angels. When we talk about angels, we are talking about a position. But the normal nomenclature or name that we call angels is often wrong in our mind, or it's often limited in our mind. For the Bible called men angels. The Hebrew word is malach. The function of an angel or malach is to be a messenger. It does not tell what dimension or what type of being that it is. When you read the Bible, you will see the Bible talk about the angel of the Lord sometimes. And if you read enough of the Bible, you will see that sometimes the angel of the Lord is called God. You'll see that the angel of the Lord is the very one that we call Jesus the Christ before he took on humanity and before he emptied himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross, before he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, according to Romans chapter 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We see that the angel of the Lord was a particular function of being a messenger. We also see other beings come to be messengers or angels. We see in James chapter 2, when it talks about Rahab, she received the messengers or the angels, the angelos, the spies, she received them. The word there is a messenger. If we take time in the discussion, we'll go through and we'll see what many people are called that. But outside of the Bible, in Greek text, not that it matters that much to you, you will find that the word angel or angelos were people that were sent from other people. They were messengers. They're called angels. Well, today we're going to be talking about not just messenger in particular, but we're going to be talking about other dimensional beings. But the term angel sometimes get to be applied to all of them. As you see, it can be applied to humans. But there is a hierarchy in the world, and all that are called angels are not necessarily what we call the quote-unquote angels. I'm going to give you one more for free. The word apostle, did you know that Jesus is called apostle in the Bible? The word apostle means ones that is sent. So you had in the world of the ancient people during the times of the first century, in writings that are not biblical, they would send their apostle. The apostle, the technical term, is one that is sent. I'm just saying it's a function. Now, when we read our Bible, going back to Genesis, we start to see other dimensional beings right there in the outset. But what I want to do is have Dree to read Psalm 82, and I want her to read it so that we can go into it and look at this. Who are the sons of the Most High? It's important that we see who the sons of the Most High happen to be, so that when we look at this passage, it will open up some things to us, I believe, that we might miss otherwise. Dree, if you will, read that, please.
God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are my God, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Notice when you read this passage, the first thing that comes out in this passage is that it says God stands in the congregation of the mighty. The mighty there is the word El. It speaks of a God, or it speaks of gods. And when it says he stands in the congregation of the mighty, as I explained the other night, that when God stands in the council of the mighty, he is singular. In the midst or amongst the congregation, we have a plurality there. And so since the Bible said that God stands in the congregation of the mighty, we understand he's there. And read that first verse again, Dree.
God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods.
Read it again, because I want you to see something.
God stands in the congregation of the mighty.
In that position. He's in the congregation of the gods. Who are these gods? If you will, Dree, I think it's the sixth verse I want you to read. Look at the sixth verse.
I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
Now he says, he stands in the congregation of the mighty. That's what the passage says. But in verse 6, he said, I have said, you are gods, children of the Most High. Who are these sons of God? Who are these children of the Most High? I've already gone through and shown you where people believe, and they rightly so believe, that these are children of Israel. But when we read the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, we find, well, actually Genesis chapter 1, before we get to Genesis chapter 3, we see explicitly that God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. When he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, we see that God, whoever this man is or these men are, he's given them what is called the dominion mandate. But who is this saying, let us make man in our image and in our likeness? Now, there are many people that say that this is the Father talking to the Son and talking to the Holy Spirit. And the way that they go by saying that this is the Father talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit, you see that it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And what they're saying is, you see that the Holy Spirit is there moving upon the face of the water. We see that God is speaking. As is God speak, we know that the Word of God is the one that took on flesh in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And they said all of this is done under the auspices of the Father. If you have to, turn it off and then turn it back on. So what we got is the Father, the Son, and the Word. I will submit to you, consider it this way. Not that you have to, but if I say, let us get pizza for today. We've done that before, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Let us get pizza for our meal today. Now, if I got the credit card, if I got the cash, Are all of us getting pizza, or am I getting pizza?
You are.
But yet I say, let us. I'm not speaking of divine majesty. I'm saying, let us do such and such and such, and everybody's in agreement. But if I'm the one doing it, it does not necessitate that all of us participated in getting it. I believe that when you look in the scripture, there is a valid warrant that when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, I would submit to you that there is something going on, and I want to show you all according to Daniel chapter 7. If you look at Daniel 7, and I want you to look at around the 11th verse. Something's going on with me and dealing with this computer today and my notes, but I'm fine. I just had to get my mindset that I got to deal with things differently. I'm like handicapped if I don't have my, because doing this touch screen, my screen, lost my screen, and it's like, okay, Lord, let my memory come back. Daniel 7 and 12, talk to me, Dree, please.
As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time.
What chapter are you in?
7.
What verse?
12.
Give me 13. Let me show you what's going on in 12. You had a little horn raise his mouth. You had a lot of things going on in Daniel chapter 7. It's talking about the kingdom that were going to come over Judah and deal with Judah and show that God eventually is going to rule over them. And now we're going to show the one that's going to ultimately rule, which will be the Son of Man, who is Jesus the Christ, and that he is going to give his kingdom to us. But I want you to see something that takes place in Daniel 7 and 13. So I thought that 7 and 12 would give us enough background information. I still had to go and explain it. 7 and 13, please.
I saw in the night visions.
Daniel said, I saw in the night visions. What did he see?
And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven.
One like the Son of Man. According to the second chapter of Philippians, Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. We see the same thing talked about in Romans chapter 4, that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. But we see in Philippians chapter 2 that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But Jesus, according to the 26th chapter of Matthew, called himself the Son of Man. I believe it's 26 and 53 in that neighborhood. And so the high priest wanted to know, what do you say of yourself? All these people accuse you. And Jesus said, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Didn't he say it? So he's quoting Daniel chapter 7, but I want you to notice something that's amazing. He sees in the night vision one like the Son of Man. What's happening with the Son of Man?
Came with the clouds of heaven.
Came with the clouds of heaven, the cloud rider. If I talked about the cloud rider, I would take you to the 19th chapter of Isaiah and show you that God rode on the clouds. I could also show you Ezekiel chapter 1. I could also show you places in the Psalm, but the cloud rider is a term that was used for God in the ancient world. Read some more, please.
And came to the Ancient of Days.
And the one like the Son of Man comes on the clouds to the Ancient of Days. What happened?
And they brought him near.
And they, that's the point that I want you to see. There's a multiplicity of people. They means more than one. Am I correct?
Yes.
They brought him to the Ancient of Days. Who are these people bringing them to the Ancient of Days? Are they the Israelites? No, because he's gone up to heaven on the clouds. And there's a group of individuals that are labeled as they. They are labeled as persons. Are you with me? Okay. Go back and read 13 again, now that I've given some insight.
I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people nations, and languages should serve him.
Now we see what he has brought to the Ancient of Days. Something is given to the one like the Son of Man. And the one that is brought like the Son of Man, he has given dominion. What else?
And glory.
And glory. God has already said in his word he will not share his glory with another. Am I right? So now that he has said he will not share his glory with another, how is this Son of Man getting glory? How is he getting honor? And what else is he getting?
And a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him.
So we see that the one that is coming is ruling the earth. Read some more.
His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed.
So what we see is that Jesus the Christ, the one that calls himself the Son of Man, he is saying that one day I'm coming to heaven, I'm coming to the throne, and when I come to the throne, I'm going to receive glory, majesty, power to rule this world and everyone that's going to be on me. And that's what he told the high priest. And I want you to understand the only reason that I showed you this is that we know that Jesus went to heaven based upon these passages, but there's someone bringing him to the Ancient of Days. Those people I declare to you are called sons of God. I believe that these same individuals, when he said, let us make man in our image, when he said, let them, he said, and then the Bible goes on to say, and God created man, not the entourage. I want to make sure that a young person understand me. Naomi, you understand what I'm saying? Because you're sitting there, when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, I'm saying he said that before beings that we would call angels. But he's not saying for them to do it. Just like if I say, let us order pizza, but I order the pizza. So the Bible said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, etc. But then the Bible stops using the us in the plural. And then it says, and God created man in his image. It goes to the singular. Not all of them. Let us make man. Then God created man in his image and his likeness. And said, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. So what we see is he's speaking as if to a group, but then he does the creation. I'm saying when Jesus the Christ received that dominion that Adam was promised to have, because Adam was the first one created, we see an entourage that comes and brings him before the Ancient of Days. Who is this entourage? I'm saying that these same beings are the ones that are called sons of God. Whether you accept it or not, did you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that there are other dimensional beings. Now, I can prove that there are other dimensional beings by looking at Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said a serpent, he was different than the other beasts that God had created and made. And the serpent came to the woman, and he told the woman, I want you to understand one thing is God can talk. I mean, the serpent can talk. But the word for the serpent, when I grew up reading the English Bible, I thought that the serpent was a snake. I knew nothing about Hebrew language. I didn't know how to go and look behind the English. But there's a term that is used. It's called Nahash, or the shining one. I believe that the reason that he's called the serpent is because of the way he acts. But he's called the Nakash, the shining one. That's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that he was there. It doesn't show in Genesis 1 him being created. It doesn't show it to Genesis 3 he was created. But he was there. There are other places in the Bible that tell that God created sons of God. Are you with me? Because if I can make sure you understand, maybe adults will understand. Okay? Because I may ask Elijah next, does he understand? Because I'm looking at him. He don't see me looking at him. But I see him as well as I see Isabel, okay? So what I'm saying is that he spoke, he communicated, she listened, but he said, you will be like one of us. God knows that in the day that you eat of this forbidden fruit, you will be as one of us to know good and evil. As a matter of fact, the question that Ann asked on Thursday, what did he mean? You will be like one of us. You will not surely die. Is it that they have immortality, or did they feel that they had immortality? Obviously, they did feel that they had immortality. But according to Psalm 82, they can die like men. So who are these sons of the Most High? I'm trying to lay a case out. There are other beings, and are they called sons of God? And that Satan is one of them. In the end of chapter 3, God drives the man out of the garden. And what does he put to guard the garden to keep man out? Does anybody remember? Cherubim. Cherubim, and they have what in their hands?
Flaming swords.
Now, where do they come from? Those are also called sons of God, but we don't call them angels. But when we have a lack of terminology, we call them angels. Those are sons of God as well. I'm going to have Dree go to Job 1 and 6, while in my mind, I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about Isaiah, his commission from God. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah, often I notice that we as black people, we call him Uzziah. And some of our white brothers call him Uzziah. Well, do you know who I'm talking about if I say Uzziah or Uzziah?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so all I want to make sure as I do is communicate. The Bible says when he saw God, he was high and he was lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Mm-hmm. Now notice what it says in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 6. And above it stood the seraphim. And each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his feet, face. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. I got a problem with covering his feet, but I won't go into great detail with that. But usually when the Bible talks about regel, which we call feet, it's usually talking about your genitals. It's usually when it uses the term, when they talk about a woman having a child from between her feet, it's not just saying feet. But I want you to understand, they're not cherubim. They are called seraphim. So if you look, there is a difference between those two type of beings. But if we call them all cherubim, we got a problem being technically correct. The word there is seraph. And it speaks of flames as well as a type of what you would call a serpent. Look the word up, seraph. S-A-R-A-P. These are also called sons of God. We see in the case with the seraphim, they are guarding the presence of God. It's almost as if they're guarding the presence of God, not to keep God from being hurt, but to keep one from going too far. You see, some people have dogs in their yard to keep the people out. You might think that the dogs are really there to just to protect the master. But the master may have bombs, shotguns, all kind of materials to destroy you, but the dogs keep you out. Rest fully assured that there are people to do things inside of places many times where they have dogs. But what they do is they cry, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. Let me give you a case in point. You can write down Leviticus chapter 10. Some of you all already know where I'm going when I say Leviticus chapter 10, right? There were two men that violated the holiness of God, and God broke forth, not the seraphim, not the cherubim, and burnt them up in their clothes. Does anybody know the name of those two men?
Nadab and Abihu.
Nadab and Abihu, or as I say, Nadab and Abihu. They were burnt up. The cherubim, when we first are introduced to the cherubim in the Bible, they are introduced as guardians over the Garden of Eden, the place where God's earthly residence was, and they had flaming swords. So throughout the Bible, you will see something about God's glittering sword. I'm giving you this to show that God has other sons. So when we look in Psalms 82 and say, how long will you judge unjustly? I got to go back one verse. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. I've shown you a congregation that brought the Son of Man to the Ancient of Days. I've shown you that I believe that there are beings there with God when he created the world. And I'm going to further develop that. I've shown you that there are beings that are around God in Isaiah's vision that are called seraphim. But look at Job chapter 1, verse 6, and see how Job talks about some of these other dimensional beings, please.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
I want you to understand, there was a day when the sons of God, and that Hebrew there is sons of the God, and the Satan came as well. They came to present themselves before God. This is before there was an Israel. This is before there was an Israel, the sons of God. This is before there was an Esau. This is before there was an Abraham. This is before God adopted Israel to be his children in the fourth chapter, in the 22nd verse of Exodus. What else does it say about this dream?
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Read.
And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face.
What I need you all to see is that these are not Hebrew people presenting themselves before God. These are not Hebrew people presenting themselves to God at all. Mm-hmm. Why am I able to say this? This person is able to go up and down the earth to and fro it. This person is able to come and go before God and deal with issues as they are in the biblical world. So the point that I wanted you, when I say the biblical world, we don't get to see God like that. So the point being made is this. They are sons of God. And these sons of God, whenever these things happen, they are able to go, and Satan is one of them. Go to the second chapter in the first verse. Because I want you to understand that there are sons of God in this world that are not human. And these sons of God are what we call God here when it says, who are the sons of God, or who are the sons of the Most High, angels or men? I showed you there are sons of God in Genesis chapter 3, when I showed you the cherubim. I want you to see that there are sons of God in the book of Job. So in Job 2:1, what does it say, Dree?
Again, There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord.
Who came to present themselves before the Lord?
The sons of God.
Read some more.
And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it.
It's the same exact kind of thing that we see in chapter 1. These sons of God are beings that we would call cherubim, that we would call seraphim. And then we see those that go back and forth. If I were to go to Zechariah, God actually has beings that go and monitor the earth and see what's going on in the earth. So I want you to take this into consideration when I read 82 and 1 in Psalm. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. We know that there's such a thing as seraphim. We know there's such a thing as cherubim. We know there's such a thing as watchers. We'll talk about watchers in a few minutes. So since I've had issues with my computer, I'm gonna just start giving you all stuff that I already know. The Bible said there are angels in the presence of God. The Bible said there's more joy if where? In the presence. It didn't say that the angels are rejoicing. There's more joy in the presence of the angels of the Lord over one sinner that repent than over 99 that need not. Why are those angels in his presence? According to John chapter 4, verse 24, God is what?
Spirit.
God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit
and truth. If God is a spirit, or if God is spirit, you have other spiritual beings. And those spiritual beings are called sons of God, just like we are. And if you were to take and say that when God says God stands in the congregation of El, or the mighty, and judges among the gods, I need you to understand that if humans can be called God because God allowed him to make judgments for him, and because his spirit in him and the spirit and the judgment is the Lord, then you must understand that those other beings that are created higher than we are. According to Psalms chapter 8, the Bible says, What is man that thou art mindful of him? You've crowned him with glory. You've crowned him with honor, but you made him lower than the angels. Didn't it say that?
Yeah.
Now, if we are sons of God and we are lower than the angels, why would we not expect them to be called sons of God as well? When Hebrews quote that, I believe Hebrew quote that in chapter 2, it says explicitly, but we see Jesus. In other words, it doesn't stop with we being made lower than the angels. Here comes the exception. When I was a kid, there used to be a song, Here Comes the Judge, Here Comes the Judge. Everybody know that Here Comes the Judge. Unless you ever had any problems legally, or a speeding ticket, or you got to have something dealt with your parents, you don't know the joy of having the judge come when you're right. If it's a righteous judge. But it says he was made lower than the angel, but we see Jesus. He went through all of this suffering for us. He went through all of this. He became human. He suffered and he died, but he defeated Satan by dying. And Hebrews chapter 2 and 18 said that's how he did it. And the Bible calls him our elder brother. Now, if Jesus is called our brother, how much more do we begin to understand that spirit beings are our brothers? Do you think that they are something other? Do you think that they are like the animals? They are our brothers. I'm going to show you how they help God in dealing with mankind. You can walk with me, but I'm going to tell you what's happening. In Genesis chapter 18 and 1, Abraham sits out on the plain in the coast of Mamre, and God comes. Actually, he sees three men coming. Three men. I need you to understand that angels can take on the form of bodies. They are spirit beings, and they can take on the form of bodies. Those three men that came to Abraham, does anybody know who they were? But then we must need read the passage if no one knows who they were. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, if someone would read that for me. It's got some good juice. 18, okay. 1 through 8. What did I say it incorrectly? I got my, sometime I mess up with what I'm saying. When Abraham is sitting at the coast on the plains of Mamre, he sees three people coming. What does it say?
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that, you shall pass on.
Yes, if you, thank you, Dre. I wanted you to just, he met three people. Mm-hmm. And Abraham is saying, I'm going to serve you. This is where you get this writing in Hebrew. Be careful how you entertain strangers. But some have entertained angels or messengers unawares. If you look at this ninth verse in Genesis 18, if you notice it says, and they said unto him, talking to Abraham or Abram, where's Sarah your wife? You can take it, Dre, in 10.
And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life.
Now he went singular. They said, where's Sarah? Now it gets to one person. I will return. Read some more.
I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women.
They've gotten old, and people look at them, and you know they're not having sex. They do good to get around, okay? Sarah's not pregnant. Let me make up a word, pregnatable. Y'all like that? Impregnatable. You like that? And Abram is not able to beget seed. That's what that means, young people, okay? They're old and stricken in years. And if you think I'm adding something to the Bible, go read Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 says Abraham was good as what, you all? Yeah. Dead. Dead men are not going around fathering children. And somebody might say, well, they take the sperm out. He's not doing that. Somebody else did. But I want you to notice how Sarah responded in verse 12.
Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself.
Now you can see why she laughed. Right. She laughed. What else?
Saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also.
I won't even deal with that, the rest of that pleasure, but read the next verse.
And the Lord said unto Abraham.
And who?
And the Lord.
And how is it spelled?
Capital L, capital O, capital R,
capital D. And it called the one that's talking to her, the man that showed up, Yahweh. I wanted you to see three men that God, we have already identified him as spirit. John chapter 4, God is spirit. We realize he was the Ancient of Days in heaven. We realize that God is spirit. We realize other dimensional beings are spirit, but they took on humanity. Because if I were to take the time and go to Genesis 19, the two other men went to where, you all? Help me. Sodom. And they took who out of Sodom so that they could be saved? And what did they grab on Lot and his two daughters? Their hand. They took on the form of a body. You know, maybe it's good that my computer act up because they're just working together. It's working it out. That means I don't have to read it because we've gone through this. I want you to understand, sons of the Most High, they can take on human form as well. they can come to be messengers. And they came and they executed God's judgment. They came to warn. They came to save. They came to be a participatory part of God's judgment. Now, when I say participatory part, they didn't rain the fire down from heaven. 19th chapter, the 24th verse of Genesis says that Yahweh or the Lord rained down, that was on the earth, rained down fire from the Yahweh or the Lord in heaven. But the men of Sodom, the angels that went to Sodom, they got them out before we destroyed this city. It's a collaborative effort. When we look at it being men doing the judgment of God, it was always a collaborative effort. The judgment did not belong to man. It belonged to God. So when you see God standing in the congregation of the mighty and says, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, Selah, defend the poor and the fatherless, it's God's judgment that they were supposed to be executing. When angels come and exact God's judgment on men, just like in the case of Isaiah chapter 37, the judgment is God. Do you all remember Hezekiah took that letter from the Rabshakeh? Well, we're going to make you all eat your own dung, your own boo-boo or poop, as some people call it. And we're going to make you drink your own piss, the Bible called it, or urine, as you might say if you take a test. That's how arrogant they were. And we have defeated these other real gods. And who are you? And Hezekiah took that thing and said, Lord, you sit between the cherubim and you know how to read. Read this. And everything they say on this has been true, Lord. They have been able to do this to other nations. But you, Lord, you're different. And God didn't like what the letter said, and he dispatched one of his sons, and he killed how many people that night?
185,000.
And let me tell you what else he did. He sent another one of the spirit sons to cause confusion, to make the king hear a rumor. And he left. So to truncate the time or to shorten the time of this message, I want you to see God's son in 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to see one of God's other sons, because I want us to understand. Actually, let's look at it from 2 Chronicles 18 and 18. I want you to see it from that vantage point first, because most of the time I do it from Kings, and I think when I do it from Kings, we get used to the Kings, but I want you to see it from 2 Chronicles, where God is dealing with his people, if you will. Go ahead and look at it. 2 Chronicles 18 and 18.
Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting upon his throne.
What's the background of this? The same background as in 1 Kings 22 is that Ahab and Jehoshaphat get ready to go to war. And Jehoshaphat has no business going with Ahab. And God is going to meet with a group of people, but those people aren't human. And these people are going to come together and make judgment, and they're going to decide what's going to happen. And God is allowing Micaiah to be a part of what's going on in this place. And so this is what Dree is reading. Read some more, Dree.
Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left.
All the host of heaven. I want you to understand something. The host of heaven, that's an army of living beings. These are not the host on earth. These are sons of God as well. There are sons of God in heaven, so many they are called an host. Start reading your Bible just like it says. He said, I saw a host of heaven. Didn't he say it? Read some more, Dree.
And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go off and fall at Ramoth Gilead?
God is in the midst of the congregation of the host in heaven and say, who is going to bid my doing?
This is what I want done. I want Ahab dead. I want him dead, Jane. I want Ahab dead. Yes, I can do it myself. But just like I gave man dominion on the earth to do my will, I got sons of God in heaven to do my will in heaven. I'm God, and I determined this is the way I want to do it, and no man can stop me. I want it done this way. And so I've made intelligent beings that can think, that can reason, that can sin against me, and that can do my will. And so now God said, this is what I want done. Let's have a meeting. Read it again. Read a good part where he asks the question or makes a statement.
And Yahweh said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?
Don't think he didn't know. They didn't know. What happened after that?
And one spake, saying after this manner.
One spake and gave his opinion. This is what I'll do. And what else?
And another saying after that manner.
And another saying after that manner. The Bible don't tell us what he said. One might have said, I'll come and be a whirlwind. Another one might say, I'll come and smite him with a sword. One might have said, I'll make a plague come on. We don't know what this manner was, but it was something. What else?
Then there came out a spirit and stood before Yahweh.
Notice the spirit comes and stands. It's not like a whoo. No, it's a person. It's a person. What did he say?
And said, I will entice him. And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith?
He said, in the meeting, I'm going to go and I'm going to seduce him. I'm going to entice him. I'm going to make him think he's going to get what he wants. And God said, okay, how are you going to do it? See, notice, please listen. Please. Look at the authority that's given. You don't think you have the authority to determine what pair of pants you're going to wear today, or shirt, or hat, or whether you're going to spank your child when he disobeys you, or whether you're going to forgive him and let him run over you? He says, wherewith are you going to do? You have some free will to make a decision of how you want to do it. I got to sanction it, but I'm letting you may have free will. What else, Dream?
And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And Yahweh said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so.
Whether you understand it or not, that means the meeting is over. It means the meeting is over. I've determined that what you have said will be. Look at the passage what we're dealing with here. God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly? If you don't understand that these beings here are carrying out God's death sentence on Ahab, you're missing the point. But it was open for them to decide how they were going to do it for Yahweh. Isn't that pretty for God to let us see that? Now, 1 Kings chapter 22, it tells the same story. I'm not going to read it. We've read it from there before. Read the next verse, because it's real good in the one in Micaiah. I believe it's the one where he gets slapped in the face.
Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of Yahweh from me to speak unto thee?
See, he mocking him. You say the spirit said this, okay. Spirit put this in our mouth, and he come slap the taste out of his mouth. Well, he might not slap the taste, but he smote him. And then he said, okay, so which way the spirit went from me? When I hit you, which way did the spirit go? Because you're mocking. You have not sat in his council. Micaiah was in that council in some way, whether it was by vision, or whether he was transported there, or whether or not God did, some other man, and Micaiah was there to see it. And Micaiah relayed what has happened, and this dude that may not even realize God has a counsel like that, hit him in the face. Now, what did Micaiah say after that? Get the laugh out, because y'all raising y'all hand up like y'all slapping the taste out of Micaiah. What else?
And Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." Then the king of Israel said, "Take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace."
Now, this is what Jeremiah chapter 23 talks about. "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. Had they sat in my counsel, they would have spoken my words." I didn't tell them what to say. They hadn't seen anything. Micaiah saw. Micaiah heard. Micaiah is giving the word of the Lord. This is what you see it taking place in Isaiah chapter 6, when it says, "Who shall go for us?" And he says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Not just who will go for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? The whole entourage is there. The seraphim is the one that put the hot coal on his mouth. Who will go and be a messenger for us to Israel? Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." Micaiah is going for God to tell this. Not look, it's an amazing thing. He didn't have to tell him that this is what's going to be. But God is this powerful that I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. So this man slaps him, hits him, put him in prison till I come back. God said, "If you come back," what? Read it. It's powerful.
"If thou certainly return in peace, then has not Yahweh spoken by me?" And he said, "Hearken, all ye people." So the king of Israel. And
we don't have to go any further, Dre. I thank you for doing that. He goes out there and get killed. As a matter of fact, the war is going on pretty good, you all. And it looked like Ahab's not going to get killed. He's what people used to call chilling. And the Bible says a certain man peradventure. That's what King James. I don't know what the word is in New American Standard Bible. So a certain man peradventure just drew back a bow and shot an arrow. And guess where the arrow landed? Right between his harness, hit Ahab. The blood started gushing out all inside the chariot. And Ahab went, "Hurry me, get me back, get me back." And Ahab died, and the dogs licked his blood when they were washing it, just like Elijah, the prophet of God that had been in his council, said. How do I know Elijah had been in his council? Because we've had problems today. I'm just going to tell you, I think it's the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. Elijah said, "I'm the prophet, and I stand before God, or the God in whom I stand." This is how it's going to be. The counsel of God. But what are these points I'm bringing up? I alluded to Elijah fighting the prophets of Baal that was to bring judgment. In the case with Ahab, God was bringing judgment. Why was God executing judgment? The reason that God is executing judgment by this angel, by this Son of God, is that they brought Baal worship in there even more so than what was done by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, because he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ezebel. Do you see this? Judgment is being taken by a son of God. I want you to see something else about the Lord. He is real pretty. Go to Judges chapter 9, verse 22. And I'm going to just tell you about 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you want to write it down. God sent a spirit, an evil spirit, to torment Saul. You all should be familiar with that. Gary just talked that. It's not an evil. No. But when we think about spirit a lot of time, what we think about is just
a change of mind, a change of attitude. The Bible is speaking of these spirits here as beings, and it knows, the Bible knows what it's talking about. What do we see in that verse I gave you in Judges 9, 22 and 23?
When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem.
Do you think that he sent a wind? Because that's another word for ruach. The ruach, when it talks about spirit, and some people might think it's wind, it's not. Read on, let your context tell you I'm right.
And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them.
Again, I'm trying to get you to see that's what's going on with these people. Let Roger in, please. So what we're dealing with is that God has sent an evil spirit. Come on in. God let an evil spirit come, and it dealt with Abimelech. And that spirit came in and caused him to bring about confusion. And that confusion that came in is set up in such a way that they would be destroyed. Again, these are the sons of God, or this is sons of the Most High executing judgment. I want you to look at Psalm 89 and 5. I want you to taste it, because all I'm trying to do today is show you that God has sons of God that are not human. They are sons of the Most High. And then when I come back with that, the next lesson, is I'll show you how I believe this fits with Psalm 82. What do you get in Psalm 89, verse 5, please?
And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?
Are you seeing what it's saying here? Let me slow it down. And the heavens, the Hashemayim, shall praise the Lord. I believe it's talking about the host here, but it says it shall praise thy wonder. I don't believe it's the wind, it's the atmosphere, it's Jupiter and Aquarius. No, it's beings that will praise thy wonders, O Yahweh, thy faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. That word there, Kodesh or Kodeshim, is the holy ones. Follow me? If you don't follow me, Naomi, the ones that are with God are called the holy ones. I'll show that in the book of Jude. If Ann wants to go there and hold it for me, it'll be around Jude 14, maybe Jude 9 or Jude 14. She'll tell me when you get there. Then it says, for who in heaven can be compared to Yahweh? There is no comparison for Yahweh if there are not other beings there. They are not, he said, they are not to be compared. They are beings. They have power. They have might, but they don't have more power than the Lord God forever. It says, who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? Are we seeing that the Bible is replete, showing us that God has other dimensional sons? It says, God is greatly to be feared among the assembly of the saints. Don't take that to be the saints on the earth primarily. God is greatly to be feared of the heavenly beings. They don't play with him. He's not a chump. He's God. He can cast you out. He can destroy you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 4 says the angel that sin has he reserved, or he's already placed them in hell. The Greek word is Tartarus. God is in control. And then he says, and he is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Remember we talked about just a moment ago, there's more joy in the presence of the angels of the Lord over one sinner that repents. They're around God. They got to praise him. And you all saw that when we went through the book of the Revelation. They joining in the song, hallelujah! Glory and majesty and power. You was and is and you are to come. You judge the whore. Didn't he say he judged the whore? And God didn't want Israel to be a whore, and I call it hoe caking. They went out hoe caking anyway. And God had to deal with them. Dre, I gave you a scripture. And I gave you a scripture to read. One of you all.
Jude 7 or Jude.
It's Jude 7 and 9 where it says the book of Enoch, the 7 from Adam.
And Enoch is verse 14.
14, I knew it was in that book.
And Enoch also, the 7 from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints.
The Lord come with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly of their ungodly deeds and their ungodly words and their ungodly heart sayings that they have done. Read it, Anne.
To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
See, God is bringing his entourage with him. Those are sons of God. But we just think that when we look at Psalm 82, God standing in the congregation of the mighty and judges amongst the God or the Elohim, that we're just thinking that these are unrighteous judges, because we read in John chapter 10, and those men are unrighteous judges. There are other times that sons of God, sons of the Most High, have done wickedly. And I'm just showing you that there are other sons of God that are not us. And notice he's quoting from the book of Enoch. Did you all remember I told you all to read in the book of Enoch? And you all can see where he's quoting from? I'm not going to go into that today because I don't want to take the time to do so. But we'll talk about it probably in our next meeting. Listen to Job 15 and 15. It says, behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. God does not even have to trust what we call angels. Somewhere we got it that angels don't sin anymore, that they can't sin anymore. There's nothing you find in the Bible to say that they can't turn against God again. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when it talks about a woman having her head covered, it said because of the angels. We might talk about that when we talk about the sins of the angels in Genesis chapter 6. Now I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. And 43. This is an amazing passage. I want somebody to read it in the King James Version, and I want you to hear how it is read in the ESV, because ESV is going to be pulling from what is called the Dead Sea Scrolls, and you're going to see some magnificent juice there. If you will, Deuteronomy 32 and 43. What I want you to understand, we've quoted, we've read maybe 50 times or more. Deuteronomy 32 and 8 says, when the Most High separated the nations, he did it according to the sons of Israel that you read in the King James Version. When you look in the Dead Sea Scrolls, your ESV will bear it out, and other manuscripts will bear it out, as well as the Septuagint. It's according to the sons of God. The Septuagint will say to the angels of God. And the Most High divided the nations in Genesis chapter 11. Chapter 11 is when we had the Tower of Babel. The nations that are talked about are in Genesis chapter 10 when they listed out, okay? Genesis chapter 32, verse 43 says what?
Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people.
I want you to hear from the Dead Sea Scroll, where they go and they look, and they see how they look at the manuscripts there and other manuscripts. It's a totally fits with what takes place in Genesis 32.
ESV
says,
rejoice with him, O heavens.
Rejoice with him, O heavens.
Bow down to him, all gods, for he avenges the blood of his children.
Do you notice that there are two different types of beings there? You got a celestial being that got to bow down to him, but they don't have blood. When you read the Bible, don't take your thinking cap off. Screw it on tight. Read again, Tree.
Rejoice with him, O heavens. Bow down to him, all gods. For he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land.
Since you're in ESV, look at ESV 32 and 8, and then drop down to verse 17. And the reason that we're talking, the reason that I'm showing you this is because when you do any kind of research and you're looking behind the English, especially if you're doing what is called exegesis or looking in commentaries, then when they refer to the Dead Sea Scrolls, you're going to see this. You're going to see that other manuscripts will show this. Deuteronomy 32 and 8 says what?
When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God.
Take me to the 17th verse.
They sacrificed to demons that were no gods.
The reason that I had her to skip there is so that she wouldn't have to read from 8 to 17, which would be 9 verses. But it's talking about he has separated the nations. The other nations are not God's portion. Israel is God's portion. He has set them aside. The other nations were separated and they were given to the sons of God. And so in the 17th verse, he's letting you know the worship that they did to those sons of God is that they are not really gods, but read it, Drea, to tell you what the 17th verse says.
They sacrificed to demons that were no gods.
See, they are given another name, Shedim. Your King James Version gonna call them demons. Read some more.
To gods they had never known.
Notice he still calls them gods, but they are not the God, but because of their spiritual nature, because of the authority and the power that they wield, they are called gods. But he gave you and let you know that they are evil, they are demons. And you worship them and they are considered gods. Notice, Jesus called the very one that seduced Eve and that Adam bowed down to in John chapter 8, around the 44th verse, he said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer in the beginning. He abode not in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own. He's a liar and the father of it, right? Mm-hmm. Notice, how did he become their father? How did he become their God? Someone said that didn't say that he was their God. What does he tell Jesus in Luke chapter 4? All the kingdoms of the world are mine. I'll give them to you in a moment of time. Bow down and worship me. No, God was not going to give the Son the kingdom by bowing down to Satan and Satan just turn it over to him. No, what God was going to do is have him to come and defeat all of the other gods. Defeat all of the other gods. All of the wicked sons of God and Satan himself as man. Satan turned and worked against the plan of God through man. God had given man this ability. I'm going to create him to have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and he seduced Eve. Adam, in the rebellion, turned over his rightful authority to Satan. And God could have just taken it. But no, God sends his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh. In the flesh, you all, God did it by Jesus as man. Yes, he's God and man, but he did not use his God's power. According to Philippians chapter 2, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore also God has highly exalted him. And let him come before the ancient of days and giving him a name that is above every name. He defeated Satan as man. This is the real spiritual warfare. The demons, the other gods, those that are made spiritual sons of God, just like we are sons of God and being sons of Adam. Adam was a son of God.
Luke chapter 3, when it goes backwards through the genealogy, and it says, and Adam, the son of God, Satan destroyed this world through man. Satan turned this world over, and his demons turned this world over outside of the realm of God through their wickedness, their lies, and their judgment. And God restores the world back through a man. If you don't grasp that, you miss a whole point of the Bible. The whole point of the Bible is not Jesus to come save you from your sin. The whole point of the Bible is not just to serve God and worship him. There's a war that's going on in the Bible. Babylon versus Jerusalem. And God versus Satan. But when it's God versus Satan, it's not God himself versus Satan himself. It's God's man versus Satan's man. It's God's people versus Satan's people. Satan gives his people authority, power, divination, necromancy, miracles. Yes, miracles. Then they throw their rod down. In return came a serpent too. Then that woman in 1 Samuel 28 called the dead back. They get miracles. They get things from Satan. God got his own manservant, and God gives them power, gives them wisdom to overcome these so that the world would be brought back to man, and then man turns the kingdom back over to God. Man failed. It was all messed up. And what God did was sent his son. He sent him, and he became a baby. He pooped. He spit up. He sucked on a breast. They didn't have bottles back then. He had to wipe his hiney. He laughed. He cried. He may have even stumped his toe. As man, why do you think he prayed so much? Because he wanted the information from the Father how to live. But because he was sinless like Adam, he didn't turn over to the demons. The demons were there. And he said, we know who you are. You're a son of the Most High. So as man, that's why he was able to defeat Satan by death. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, if the rulers of this world had known it, they wouldn't have killed him. Because they killed him illegally in the plan of God. You falsely accused him. You put him to death falsely. Therefore, God vindicates him and raises him up, and Satan, you have made your own doom. You had no right to kill him. He didn't have sin. You are Lord of the dead. You are Lord of the dead, Satan. You are a murderer. You are over the realm of the dead. God is about life. You had no right to take his son. And so God vindicates him. Peter talks about it in Acts chapter 2. He said, you killed him and God raised him up. Well, I think I don't want to stop, but I think I need to stop. But there are some things that I'll just throw out there for you all. In Genesis chapter 2, God talks about his host. And the Bible talks about the sun, moon, and the stars in Genesis chapter 1. The stars and the sun and the moon, they guide the earth. God uses terms of stars to replicate his angels and his sons. Therefore, when you read the Bible, you will see that God uses those terms. And the only one that I'm going to give you today is that when you look in the Bible, the Bible talks about the stars, the moon, the sun. We look at it in human terms. When Joseph used it, are you familiar with that? Well, yes. In the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5, Joshua meets a man, and that man said, I'm captain of the host of the Lord's army. I can't finish this. I was going to finish it. I had some issues. And so my little order that I had, it was gone, but I don't really care. You got a chance to see this is not something I'm just reading. This is something that's in here, but it's fully about God
is fully about his son, is fully about his other sons that are spiritual, and it's about us, who we're going to serve. So when we look at Psalm 82, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. At least start getting your mind right that there is another world of beings. And they are called gods or demons or shadim, seraphim, cherubim, watchers. We didn't even get to the watchers. But if you look at Daniel 4, you can read about the watchers. Then Nebuchadnezzar going to have a dream. The watchers going to say, when this big tree cut down, which is you, it's going to be cut down and be a stump, and you're going to be eating grass like an animal. That's the decree of the watchers. So when Daniel talked to Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to say, that's the decree of God. Which is it? Both. God is obviously, from the way that we see in other scriptures, he's had a meeting. What are we going to do about Nebuchadnezzar? He's too big for his britches. We're going to cut him down. We're going to make him like an animal. Do it. That same decree in 1 Kings 22, 2 Chronicles 18, 18, according to Micaiah, that came from God. God sent the Spirit, but the Spirit himself said, this is what I'm going to do. So when God sits in the council of the mighty, I'm trying to get your mind to see. Don't just think of Israel. It's bigger than that. How long will you judge unjustly? Except the persons of the wicked. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice for the afflicted and needy. We see they got a job to do. We see they're supposed to deliver the poor and needy. We say they don't know and they don't understand. Angels don't understand everything. I've already explained it. 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. Had the rulers known, they wouldn't have killed the Lord. And if you want to make that be humans, they killed the Lord, then how did he defeat Satan? Think about it. And it says, they don't know, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. If you think the foundations of the earth is like some kind of pillars in the ground, you've missed the biblical terminology. Biblical terminology is the very thing that God had designed. God really wants us to live with him. So when it says, I have said ye are gods, he has said that. He's spoken that you are Elohim. We think of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have said you are Elohim, or you are spirit beings. All of you children of the Most High spirit being, the sovereign spirit being. If you start thinking in terms like that, you'll get it. He said, but you will die like men. That's the genesis of the question that we got the other day. Did the angels feel that they were eternal? And then it says, all of you will fall like one of the princes. I can show you some princes that have already fallen. Actually, I've mentioned it in 2 Peter 2 and 4. And he says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit the nations. Who inherited the nations? Who was really judged? We started Daniel 7, 13. Who really inherited the nations? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the very one that I believe that says right here, I say ye of God. And the same one that I believe says in John chapter 10, 34 and 35. He didn't say, the Father said, I said, ye are gods. He said, I have said it. But I'm going to stop right here with just giving this little information on sons of God. It's not exhaustive. It's not the way I wanted to present it, but I'm not going to apologize for anything I said. But everything I said, I believe, and more. Father, help us to realize that we're in a world of beings. You send some of those beings to help us. You send some to protect us. You sent some in the days of Elisha that were on horses, ready to fight, ready to do your will. You've shown in the scripture that sometimes they would go across the top of the trees, ready to fight for your people. And then you show, Lord, that sometimes there are some that will be seducing spirits and teach doctrines of demons. Help us to be aware and not get caught up in worshiping of angels, but that we will worship you, and that when the day come, Lord, we'll be gathered with the whole host of heaven, the whole host that you have on earth, and we'll be one family with you, and that we will live and enjoy you forever. But help us as we live on this earth
to realize that they are angels, they are sons of God that didn't do what they were supposed to. Let us not be like them, nor the ones that you have set up to do your judgment in Israel. I pray this for all of us in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen. This class is open for discussion now.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy 32.
Yes.
If I recall, based on what I've read, God is making a nation for himself, and he's given the other nations to these, well, use the term not here, the sons of men, these other spiritual beings, if that's correct, right?
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
Basically, okay. Now
there's not unanimous agreement on that either, okay? I'm telling you that.
I can imagine.
I'm telling you this. I'm telling you that's what I believe. That's what I believe I can prove. But proving something, making somebody accept it, two different animals.
Okay. But my question is, I think this makes sense. If you take this and put that within the context of Psalm 82, we're in a context, the context is saying you're not judging correctly.
Right.
Why would God expect those that he's at war with to judge rightly?
Sound like a question that I got at home the other day. It sound like in the same neighborhood, Andrina.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So it's a great mass thing to like.
Andrina, congratulations. Andrina, you got a great mind today. One of the things that we notice is that when God set up the nations and he sets those other beings to judge those nations and to be over those nations, it looks to me as what God has done. I've given you this to do. And you do it any way you want to do it. You know my standards. You know I'm holy. You know I'm right. You know what I set this world up for man to have dominion over the fish of the sea, for man to deal with the fowls of the air, for man to be fruitful and multiply, for man to deal with me as your sovereign as you're supposed to. So when I set you over the nation, knowing that you are like you are, that doesn't mean that I've told you to go out there and destroy them. That's one view.
Okay.
Just like God give you, let people live that he knows still wicked. Why don't he kill them? Why did he let them have children? Why did he let them be president? There's another view that God is going to judge them and execute judgment on them, like in Isaiah chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, God sends the Assyrians to deal with his rebellious people, but they go too far. So now I got to get you for dealing with that. So in looking at that passage, why is he judging them when you're looking at the sons of God doing things? It seems to me as if not only do they do things that they can get worse and worse, and not only can they get worse and worse, even those that are good, there is nothing that I've seen in the scripture or any other ancient writing or even any commentaries, but it seems like that's the prevailing view of people, that angels can't sin. Like it's a prevailing view that angels can't make babies. Mm-hmm. The Bible never said that angels cannot impregnate anybody. But it says in heaven, they don't marry. It didn't say that they don't make children. It said in heaven, when they came to Jesus with that story about the seven brothers and the one woman, they said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, Matthew 22, not knowing the scripture nor the powers of God. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. Are the angels in heaven physical beings? But when they come to earth,
They can either be in their spirit bodies, or if, for the lack of a better term, spiritual essence, or they can take on human flesh. In heaven, there is no need to procreate. God has already made them. But on earth, he didn't make a heavenly, he didn't make an earthly host. He gave that to man to do, to make my host on earth. Follow me? If a spirit being cannot produce a child with a human, how do you explain Mary getting pregnant? What should I say, Jane? But what I'm saying is the Holy Ghost a spirit being.
She might not have heard you.
Yes.
Because I was in so. Yeah. So what happens is, when man being a son of God creates a child, he can't just breathe and make a child. He has to go through another way to get his essence into whatever that form is going to make his child. The sons of God, what we call spiritual beings, if they were going to do the same thing, then if we know they could take human form, why would they not be able to do it like humans did? Next question. Well, would they just be able to let their spirit over a woman and make her pregnant? I found that everything that God let man do, or even the celestial sons of God, is always less than what he does. He always has more power. He always does things differently. In other words, if they can speak or if they can do things, it's always less than God. God doesn't have to speak for you to know what he wants you to do. I believe when God speaks to us, that's lowering his power and his might so that we can understand. God can put whatever he wants us to do in our head without even giving us words. But I don't believe sons of God are robots, the celestial.